Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater and your leader for this morning. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 32, second paragraph. A man of 30 was doing a great deal, goes down seven sentences. We're only reading seven sentences today, and it ends on the 14th line. It had qualified him to drink as other men. Today's readers are today for the 12 steps. We have Anne-Marie M., 12 Traditions, Jen P. The reader of the text is Susan S.H. Page 164 is Rena L. Our backup today is Tony B. Newcomer greeter, Cheryl L. And our second hour host is Matt J.F. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, April 20th, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,380, that's 23380. And for our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,381, that's 23381. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne-Marie M. to please come in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Anne-Marie. Can't hear you, Anne-Marie. Star one, please. Anne-Marie, are you there?
Yep.
There you go.
Muted. I apologize.
What happened?
Okay.
Oh, it's no worries.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Jen P. I'm calling from New Jersey. step one, or I'm sorry, tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two, today it's seven sentences, from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. We are on page 32. We are on the second paragraph. We are reading seven sentences, 14 lines down, starting with a man of 30, ending at had qualified him to drink as other men. I will now ask Susan S.H. to come on in and to begin reading. Come on in, Susan.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered today. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man. He remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at age 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. I can see myself in this one, definitely. And though I never went 25 years, I was not that exceptional, but I felt pretty exceptional with every diet that I was able to work for a while. And when I follow a diet, it works. As long as I can follow the diet. And I would congratulate myself and decide that, you know, I deserve the treat after every day or month or several months of being bone dry, well, then I deserve something. I did. I kept this belief that I had to be able to drink, eat like other people. Yeah. And the fact is, that's not me. I will always be a compulsive eater. And the fact is, today I don't have to think as much about the eating as I did early on. I am blessed with a miraculous reprieve, and I am so grateful. See, the diets, they would tell me what to eat, but I couldn't follow just that. I had to have a way of life that wasn't rough going, and I have found it. And I am very grateful to have found it here in the steps, in turning to a higher power. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. And that's really all I have to say about that. This is me. But now it could be me, but the fact is, I found a way of life that works in rough going. And God willing, I will cling to it. I pass.
Susan, thank you so much for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you please hold back so others can share. I'm ready to take the first lineup. If you press star 1 to unmute your phone and give
Melissa
me your full name.
Lisa
and Man. Okay, I only have Melissa C. Hania and Melissa, okay.
Anna M. Tony B.
Maggie.
Nope.
L.
Elizabeth D.
Okay, this is who I have. Melissa C., Hanietta, Tony B., Christina L., and Elizabeth D. Did anyone else see their names? Janet.
Van M.
Ann M.
Nancy C.
Dan. Nancy C. I didn't hear the last
Maggie.
One. Maggie. Okay, let's go with that lineup. That sounds great. So if I didn't get your name, please wait for the second lineup. But for right now, we have Melissa C., Hanietta, Tony B., Christina L., Elizabeth D., Janet, Ann, Nancy C., and Maggie. Melissa, please, let's go. Come on in.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Kathy, for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I have had experience where I was able to leave it alone. You know, I had a great necessity for me, and I had a really strong desire. And I guess the disease hadn't progressed, you know, quite to the level that it eventually did. But I was able to put it down. When in my early 20s, I had some goals, and my weight and the way that I was eating was getting in the way. You know, I wanted to lose weight because I wanted a better job. I wanted to meet a man, and I wanted to get married. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous, and I found out about the allergy of the body. And that was like this man. He was given some information. And I thought, okay, I can just put that into application, and I was able to for a period of time, and I got the things I wanted, and then I fell victim to that belief that I was now qualified to eat like other people, you know, and it was an epic fail. You know, I took something, and then it took me, you know, and it took me years, and I just, it was horrendous, you know, what happened, how quickly the weight came back on, and that I could do nothing about it. It was like all that time that I had left the food alone, it was like the disease was growing. Like we're told, it's progressive. And, you know, so today I think about, like, what does it mean to be qualified to eat like other people? You know, I I know what I'm not qualified to do, right? I'm not qualified to, yes, eat my alcoholic food, but I also am not qualified to eat. You know, I've got alcoholic food behaviors. I need a plan. I need a scale. I need a plan. I need to like have a lunchbox. You know, I need to know that I've got my food packed. I found out that, you know, other people can just sort of, I don't know, go wherever they want to go and just sort of pick up what they need to eat or what they want to eat in wherever they are at. And I can't roll like that. I don't have that qualification. But the most wonderful thing of all, really, is that the 12 steps have transformed me into somebody who doesn't really want those qualifications because God has given me far more useful qualifications. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Melissa, thank you so much for sharing. And that's Melissa C. from New York. Before Hanayeta comes on, if you came in after we started, we are on page 32, the second paragraph. We're reading seven sentences. Hanayeta, please come in and share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your service. I love when you are the moderator. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas. I first want to welcome all the newcomers, whether you say your name or not. I'm glad you're here. You're the most important people here because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. And you're there to give it to. So anyway, I relate to this paragraph, but in a kind of different way. I hated dieting. I didn't want to diet. I just didn't. So I would pray that I would just, you know, be in a car accident or something and be in a coma for a year and wake up thin or something like that. So I had three operations to lose weight. And anyway, so, and they're ruining my life still today. And that's in the 70s. So, but in program, I've had a couple of 10-year abstinence, you know, really recovered, working the program, doing everything I was supposed to be doing. And when I get angry or I don't get my way on big things, I pick up after 10 years, twice I picked up because I didn't get my way. And so it's a little bit different, but still the same thing. I didn't understand that I can't get angry. Anger is a dubious luxury of normal men and women. Is what it says. It doesn't say women, but in the big book. But, you know, it's just, it drives me crazy. So this time, I'm actually doing something a little different. I've been abstinent since, I think, November of 23 this time. And I really work hard at not getting angry. And although I do still, I still do, but it doesn't take me very long to get out of it. And that's a good thing. But I'm trying to pause, be patient, have assurance, be understanding, surrender, and easy does it. Pause so that I can get through the moment. But the best thing for me to say is just, God help me right then. Because and take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Ah, and try to get me through it. And so those are some of the things, because a lot of times when I get angry, I'm in the car and I don't have a way to just walk away or, you know, something like that. So I've had to learn some other things, some skills. But thank you very much for letting me share. Again, my name is Hanayeta, Chana-Yetta-R from Texas. I'm the only one in the book, so, and I love outreach calls. All right. Thank you, Kathy. Bye.
That is Hanayeta R from Texas. Next up, we have Tony B, followed by Christina L and Elizabeth D. Tony, please come in and share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. My name is Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scotland.
And I'm always so, so grateful to be on this meeting. It's really a wonderful one, and the shares so far have been fantastic. So yes, this man of 30, he's still young, you know, 30 when I think back, you know, that's sort of almost pretty much 20 years before I found recovery. And he was doing a great deal of spree drinking. So he's not continuously drinking. And this is like me with my binges. They're maybe not that frequent yet. And he quiets himself with more knickers, nervous in the morning. And, you know, his willpower is coming in here. But it's him. It's all about him. You know, he saw that he'd get nowhere if he drank at all. So it's just it's his own kind of power that's going on here. He's thinking to himself, I'm not going to get anywhere if I drink. So I'm deciding that he makes up his mind until he's been successful in business. He's not going to touch another drop. Definitely, he's got good reasons, and he sees this, and he makes up his mind. It's interesting. It's a very clear indication that he is a real alcoholic, because once he starts to drink, he has no control whatever. And I can relate somewhat, and in other ways, I can't. I needed the food. It sounds like he's a fairly stable and normal character, you know, and he puts down the alcohol and has a successful and happy business career. That blows my mind that he could be happy bone dry like that. It describes him as bone dry, not recovered, you know. This could not have been me. I needed the food in my 30s. I wasn't going to be putting it down and having a successful and happy career. That's not my story. But, you know, he manages this. And we're going to find out later that he's a real alcoholic and he goes back to it. But I think that's all I've got. It was just great to come in and share with you all, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the shares. Thanks, Kathy.
Tony, thank you so much. That's Tony B from Scotland. Next up, we have Christina, followed by Elizabeth, and then Janet. Christina, please come in and share with us.
Okay, good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I love where we're at in the big book right now, because this talks about my mind. And, gosh, like everybody else has said, the shares have been so good. It's like making me think, like, what I want to share. My mind is going a little bit crazy with just a little bit of overwhelm. But I think what I definitely want to share is not so much before I came into program, but what happens after I come into program. And then my mind makes me think that because I've had a period of sobriety, that I've had a year of abstinence and stuff, that gives me the right to take it easy, if you will, you know, that I've done really well. And, you know, I've shared that I went I'm just trying to calm myself down. Chaperones for my son's high school competition almost 2 weeks ago now, and we got back a week ago Sunday. And there was a lot of things that came up during that time that either I didn't have the ability to turn over a 10 step in that moment, or my mind was telling me, you can do it later, you can do it later. And I came home with a whole four-step inventory because my mind told me that, you know, I'll get to it. I'm going to be fine. I'm not fine. I am a compulsive overeater. My mind is always trying to lead me back into the food. And this is like a very critical time for me because, yes, I have been abstinent for over a year. And I've been abstinent for nearly 2 years before, but I don't want to go back to the food, and I don't want to do the same things that I've done in the past. I want to keep moving forward. I was listening to some podcast yesterday, and Harlan G was saying he hates the disease, and that's exactly where I'm at. I hate this disease. I hate it so much that I don't want to even give it a thought to even go back. So that's where I'm at. And I'm working on a 4-step inventory. It's not going as fast as I would like, because again, the disease is telling me you're fine. Everything's fine, but it's not. And, so I'm just committing. I'm just putting it out here, because one of my things is that I don't want anyone to see me like in a state where I am like really vulnerable, like I am right now. And yesterday I had a hard time even reaching out, because I didn't want anyone to see that I had not done 10 steps while I was gone, or that I had, you know, minimized them and stuff. And, you know, I did a 10 step this morning, and, you know, now I'm being of service. And, you know, with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That's Christina L. from Florida. Before Elizabeth comes in, we're on page 32, the second paragraph. We have up Elizabeth, Janet, and then Anne. Elizabeth, come on in and share with us, please.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. I just love this meeting, and I love the shares. I love the honesty and the vulnerability, and I love this paragraph. I am the man of 30. A couple of things stick out for me, and that was he was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. This really quieting myself, quieting my nerves, quieting my angst and my fear and my resentment was how I used food. Food was not my problem. Food was the solution to my problems when I was eating compulsively, actively. And so I really get the man of 30 on a deep level. And also this where he says he remained dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 35. At the age of 55, after a successful and happy career, an earlier share said, I don't know how he was able to be bone dry and have a successful and happy career. What comes to mind for me in this moment is I wonder what else he might have been doing, which isn't written here, that could be considered addictive. I mean, I know for me that my addictive personality is like whack-a-moles. You whack one down and another one comes up. You know, I can be a compulsive spender. I can be compulsive about relationships and sex. So even though I can be, quote, abstinent and bone abstinent, I can still be practicing some of those other process or substance addictions at the same time. So I don't know, it just makes me wonder about him. And I can still be fairly high functioning and do my work. But the day will come when the disease will be activated, because if I'm not enlarging my spiritual life on a daily basis and dealing with the mental obsession, it's a second aspect of my disease, the larger aspect of my disease, I am going to go back. And the other, and it's very clear to me that I will die from this disease just as this man dies if I don't take this really seriously. Finally, what's most, I think, important for me is he says a long period of self-discipline qualified him to drink like other men. In OA, in abstinence, when I'm not working and enlarging my spiritual life, what will happen for me is that the disease will come in and it will tell me, well, you can start eating that XYZ food or practicing that XYZ behavior around food that you used to practice when you were before, because now you're stronger and you're qualified. You have the self-discipline to do that XYZ behavior or eat that food. But the fact is, once something is out of my food plan and once something is out of the behaviors around food, I can't take it back. It doesn't matter
that's time,
how
Elizabeth.
Long. Thank you. I've been abstinent. I can't take things back once I've identified them as trigger foods, ingredients, or behavior. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Janet, followed by Ann, Nancy, and Maggie, and then I can take some more names. Janet, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Says, once he started, he had no control whatever. And that makes me think of my friend L. Her husband didn't drink because he saw that once he had even like one glass of wine, one glass of beer, he couldn't stop. So he had the allergy of the body, but he didn't have the obsession of the mind. He didn't have the obsession that said, oh, this time will be different. This time I can have one and I'll be able to stop. He knew if he had one, he couldn't stop. And I think that my first couple years in Overeaters Anonymous, I was sponsored by women who were like Elle's husband. I think they, the obsession or the allergy of the body, but they didn't have the obsession of the mind. So all they did is they needed this good food plan that got rid of their trigger foods and they could be abstinent. And, you know, they gave each other hugs and sat in meetings and said slogans, but they didn't work steps. They didn't really work steps. And so they gave me a food plan and they gave me a bunch of hugs and I still couldn't stop binging. And I remember my sponsor was at her wit's end. So she called her sponsor to talk to me. And her sponsor, this is her solution on how to deal with me, to say, Janet, you've had whatever that binge food was before. You didn't need to have it again to know what it tastes like. It's like she tried to shame me into abstinence and it didn't work. No control whatsoever. But unlike these very well-meaning but misinformed women, I had an obsession of the mind, something that told me I could have one and then I'll be able to stop. And you can't cure a sick mind with a sick mind. I couldn't think my way out of it. I couldn't learn my way out of it. I needed outside intervention. And the outside intervention that this program talks about is a miracle, right? Our step 12 starts with a promise, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So that tells me I need to work these steps and then I'll have a spiritual awakening. And a spiritual awakening or spiritual experience described beautifully on page 25. Our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we could never do by ourselves. So that told me, and thank God, after a few years in, I met a woman who had worked these steps and told me that if I worked those, God himself would remove my food obsession and that I would have a way of life beyond my wildest dreams. And that is what happened. And that's what these steps offer to all of us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That is Janet B. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Ann, Nancy, and Maggie, and then I could take some more names. Ann, please come in and share with us.
Good morning. This is Ann M. That's A-N-N-E. And I am from North Carolina, currently in North Carolina, but a van dweller nomad. Anyway, such wonderful shares this morning, and I'm not sure I have much to add that's new, but I need to claim my seat. And I too came into OA, like someone else said, and I came in with the thought that I need to stop sugar like an alcoholic stops alcohol. I mean, literally, those were the words I used in my head when I came into OA. And so I was abstinent from sugar. And I released, over a couple of years, I released 150 pounds. But I didn't work the steps and I didn't have a spiritual experience. I was doing this program you know, as was just mentioned, just according to a food plan. I mean, yes, I gave up sugar, but I was also doing other compulsive things, and I was also starting to binge on foods that didn't used to be red light foods or alcoholic foods. Anyway, that led to a relapse. I am grateful that I relapsed, because in relapse, I found a new sponsor and a new way of being in the world. And that new way is following the directions of the textbook that is the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book. And when I follow it like a textbook, and I have indeed had a spiritual experience as the result of working these steps at this point, I am abstinent because I am spiritually sober right now. Thank God of my understanding. And that makes a world of difference. And I love reading the paragraph here and being reminded that I am a foodaholic, and I will always be a foodaholic. I am going to have the obsession of the mind and the craving of the body anytime I allow myself to partake of those foods that are in my
allergy.
Thank you. With that, I pass. I am so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Anne M. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Nancy C., followed by Maggie. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 32. The second paragraph, reading seven sentences. After Maggie, I can take some more names. Nancy, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Nancy C., and I'm gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And boy, what great shares. What a good paragraph. I am such a part of everyone in this chapter that I can get something good out of it. But, you know, the nervousness. When I wake up today nervous, I know I'm in trouble and I have to turn to my higher power. But I used to wake up and be nervous, and yes, my binge food would take care of that and would quiet me down. And I too had periods of bone dry or bone sugar, whatever you want to call it, abstinence when I saw a goal of something I had to do. But if you don't think that every day I didn't think about the foods I wasn't eating, you're nuts. My mental obsession had me going back and back to someday, somehow I'm going to be able to eat like normal men. And that day for man of 30 came after 25 years, bone dry, bone sugar dry. And he thought he had saved up enough time. You know, the bank has got a lot of reserves now, and he was gone in a matter of time. For me, I can do that first in recovery, or I can do it to get recovered. The first time I came in, I did everything I was told to do, followed all the rules, but never found that spiritual awakening and really had a turnaround in my life and saw that God was in charge, not me, because I kept myself will. Today, I realize that it is all my higher power, and that if I stick close to him, I have a chance of not picking up those substances, because he quiets that mental obsession. And when I do have the mental obsession, I have tools at my disposal, especially calling people, working 10 steps, that keep me out of that fray of letting that little Norman, I call it, in my head going, you can do this just this once. You don't have to do a 10 step. You don't have to call somebody. You don't have to do your evening review. As that continues to worm through my head, it begins to take over. And if I don't have a spiritual solution, I'm in trouble. So every day I wake up untreated, I have to work all of these steps in order that they were given. And I can put my head on my pillow at night knowing that I went to bed abstinent, God willing. And the best part, guys, is I don't wake up with a nervous disposition in the mornings anymore. And with that, I pass.
Nancy, thank you so much. That was Nancy C. from Michigan. Next up, we have Maggie. And after Maggie, I could take at least four more names. Maggie, please come in and share with us.
Yes, thank you for your service, Kathy. I am Maggie A. from Massachusetts. And what stuck out to me was this person in the story saying that he deserved it. Well, that word I have used often myself, or maybe not even consciously, but maybe subconsciously. And I'm realizing what I want to kind of turn that into instead is I deserve to be healthy, because my my disease has really hurt my health in many different ways. You know, but maybe not deserve is even the right word. That's what my loving God wants for me, to be healthy. And even knowing that fact, of course, isn't enough, but you know, I'm realizing as I'm on step 10 now for the first time, I've gone through the steps, started before, you know, years ago, got to 5, got to 6, I think I got to 7 once. So I'm so grateful I'm at this point, but even that, you know, I don't want to get overconfident, or I don't want to get self-confident. I want to make sure I'm staying, you know, trying to be as humble as I can, giving all the credit to God, because I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm just doing what I need to do, again, to be healthy, to be, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually healthy. And I'm so grateful I found this program and have a sponsor. And even knowing that is not enough. I need to take that action consistently. It's often for me a fear that gets in the way, or I should say a false fear. So I'm learning and ready to surrender these false fears, because that's what they are. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Maggie A. from Massachusetts. We are in on the page 32, reading 7 sentences.
I can take four more names.
Thank you, Charles. I have you. Thank you.
Suzanne.
I have Charles, Penny, and Suzanne. Is there one more person that spoke? I didn't hear any. Thank you. And Lisa, if we have time, I'll put you in. But right now, we're going to go with Charles, Penny, Suzanne, and Pete. And if time allows, we'll get Lisa in. Charles, please come in and share with us.
Thank you very much. So these 5 characters in More About Alcoholism, they didn't have a problem stopping. In particular, you know, it just tells me that obedience is greater than sacrifice. This man sacrificed 25 years to be bone dry. I'd rather be binging than 25 years, because he had a reservation that he would be normal after some time of abstinence. And we know abstinence is the ticket in the door. He sacrificed. And for me, sacrificing is not being grateful, and I'm complaining that, look what I'm doing for you. Obedience is, you know what, thank you, God, for doing all this for me, right? Because this is about a relationship with a higher power of my misunderstanding. I don't understand God, but I stand under God. At first, I'm like, man, look what I'm giving up for you, right? Like, I could imagine Jim or Fred or one of these guys, one of these, the Jay Walker, a man of 30. The thing about this paragraph as well, well, not this paragraph, but the man of 30, you know, reminds me of time. I think young people think they got a lot of time. I know some young people that are dead because of this disease, and they didn't get to an age where they should have. So in 25 years, and, you know, he tried again. He went to hospitals, and I think it was in 2 years he was dead or something like that. So the time, you know, one day at a time is really a good thing. And the light comes on a little bit more. See, like page 27, 25, and 47 says, you know, with an asterisk on the bottom of the page, a spiritual experience, like it compels us, or it compels the reader or the studier, either one, to go to those pages, to go to spiritual experience, because these I think it was alluded to earlier, these five characters fail to enlarge your spiritual life. And it's such a crazy thing when, you know, I have one intention to get rich. I don't care about abstinence. I don't care about none of that stuff. Abstinence is important. But on page 51, I'll close with this. It says, the consciousness of a higher power is the most important thing. Yes, abstinence is a big byproduct of that. But I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I am glad that I got this disease, because it lifted me into the fifth dimension. I mean, above the clouds, one day at a time. And it's because of these resentments and fears and things that go on in my life on a daily basis that lifts me to the fifth dimension. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Charles H. from New York. Next up, Penny C., followed by Suzanne and Pete. Come on in, Penny.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much, Kathy. And yes, I really, really appreciate all the shares this morning. Several years ago, another dear member of Vision and I did a workshop at a Region 6 convention on this very chapter. And I so appreciated really delving into the stories of these people, the man of 30 especially. I see it for me as a warning. I want to remember that man of 30 and how 25 years he really believed that gave him the privilege of going back to drinking and he'd be fine. And, you know, I've been blessed with many, many years of abstinence, and it doesn't get easier in the sense that, oh, now I can eat whatever I want or I can binge a little bit here and there. It's a warning that I haven't earned. I'll never have earned the ability to go back to where I was before I came to OA. What I find as I go on with life and with abstinence is complacency wants to get in there, and people around me are saying, "Oh, you can have just one now. I mean, look at you. You're at a normal body weight. How many years? Oh, you've had all those years of abstinence. Go ahead. So that's when I have to say, God, help me. Because I can have a weak moment, I suppose, sometime, and give in to these invitations to have just one bite. And I know, like a lot of people have said already this morning, one bite is going to lead me to 1,000 bites. There won't be enough bites of whatever. It's amazing. I pick up pastries and breads once a week at a local market to bring to the food pantry. And my car is stuffed with that stuff. And by the grace of God, I have no desire to eat it. No desire whatsoever. I could be picking up bricks. So I'm just so grateful that, like someone just said, I am so glad that I am a compulsive overeater, and I found, or God sent me to OA, and I found out, you know, a new way. I found a new way of living. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Penny C. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have another Massachusetts from Suzanne, and then Pete B. Come on in, Suzanne.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. And, what a great meeting. What fabulous shares this morning. So by the grace of God, working the 12 steps, living 10, 11, and 12, and meetings, and especially from attending this meeting, by the grace of God, I have a year abstinent today, something I've never been able to achieve. And I just love everybody's shares today because, you know, one is too many and a thousand never enough. But somebody talked about that mental obsession. And for me, I have a disease of self-sabotage. And I knew I was coming up on this anniversary. And since, like, this weekend, I have started with food thoughts and obsessions. And I haven't felt like that food neutrality, which has gotten me through this year. And I just have to stay in today and stay into the moment and stay in my meal plan to carry me through. But this disease is always alive and well in my head, and it's always ready to bring me down. So I need to double down on my efforts. You know, with my spiritual connection, I have a very good one normally, but, you know, I share with my sponsor on the weekends. I get a little lazy about my spiritual, about my morning prayers and the things I need to do. And I just can't afford to do that because, like I said, I'm all too aware that everything could be lost in a minute with one bad decision. And I'm so grateful for this reading because I, too, you know, my 30s is when I first came to find that I had an issue and a problem. And I played around many years. I am now 61. And like I said, this is the first time I've had any real length of time with abstinence. So I thank you all. I love you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Pete, take us out with your share. Please come on in, Pete.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. What is the man of 30 at 30? He's certainly not an alcoholic. And if we read There Is a Solution, it describes exactly what it is at 30. He's a hard drinker because he had good enough reason to stop, and he stopped. See, but at 55, when he started drinking, he was alcoholic. And why is that? Because the condition that we have, if we do indeed have it, even if we are potentially have it, it progresses. It gets worse, never better. Right? So you can't treat the disease with abstinence, but you also can't trigger it with abstinence. Right? So he started drinking at 50 because at that point in time, he became alcoholic between the time from 30 to 50. And then once he started, what got him to start drinking? It wasn't that he was addicted. He wasn't tending to an addiction. He didn't get tolerance and build up tolerance and then need more and more and more. What got him to start drinking is why everybody minimizes what he had. He thought he'd be okay now, right? Mental obsession. Probably not even mental obsession, but something changed in him. And it says it right there. Once he started, he had no control over it. He had no control, whatever. See, but we have to recognize, or I have to recognize, that that's the distinguishing characteristic. It's not the thinking. It's not the emotions. It's not the reasons. The distinguishing characteristic is the allergy of the body. We lose control after we start. So we have to not start. How do you not start? You can do it lots of ways. You can put your grit, your determination, all your effort into it. You can get a bunch of friends to support your endeavors and make sure they remind you that you have the condition. You can do all that. You can make a bunch of phone calls. You can go to a bunch of meetings. You can do all that. But if we do in fact have this condition, those things are human powers and mental defenses, and they will one day fail if we do in fact have the condition. And so ultimately then you can turn to a power greater than yourself that can restore us to sanity if we do what's necessary to do in order to have the change that they indicate we have to have. We can have an entire psychic change by having a spiritual experience. And the steps are a process, not the only process, but a process to bring about a spiritual experience. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, thank you so much for taking us out, Pete. Thank you, everyone who shared today. Thank you, Team Tuesday. Please join us for a second. I'm sorry, Lisa, we couldn't get you in. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing the share ID for today. Tuesday, April 21st, 2026 is 23,385. That is 23385. We're now going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Rena L., please come in and read for us. We don't hear
Rena. This is,
now
can you hear me now? Oh, good.
We hear
this
you
is
well.
Rena, great. This is Rena, recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.